Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here for 24 and a half more minutes. We thank you for listening to AFR. Hope you're having a good day and hope you're having a good summer. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joining
morning.
Us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey.
You having a good summer, are you, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. We have a new dog. We lost our little puppy.
What happened?
Well, she got run over by a car.
Oh. That's painful. That's painful for the human beings.
It was painful for the dog too, but
sorry.
Yeah.
I am not making fun of
it.
No, it was
I don't know what.
So anyway, we do have a new puppy dog. It was a standard poodle, black standard poodle, and she got a little more energy than our former dog, and her mouth was more active.
Didn't have much of a chance.
Yeah, well, she was 2 years old when she got hit.
Okay. So anyway, that's sad.
And I'm sorry. It is sad.
How ridiculous it was that I said it's painful. I was talking about
right.
No, racing a new dog.
Yeah. You noticed I'm staying quiet.
Yeah, yeah. And your dad just threw me right under the bus there. He just listen. You're on your own. Ed.
Well, We've got a dog that's 11 or 12 years old, and it's a Maltese, and they can live, 14, 15, right in there. But I'm dreading the day that. And like all pet owners listening to me right now, everybody's been through this. And it's just very
My wife very, does very not sad. Want us to get any more. We've had scores of dogs because my wife for a long time would rescue and find homes for dogs. But we've had family dogs that we've had for years and years and years. And my wife said, I don't want to do it anymore. It's too painful when they die.
Yeah.
It's just heartbreaking. So,
yeah.
I'd be nervous if my wife rescued dogs and found new homes for them. I'd be afraid one day I'd come home and find a note that says, your new home is.
One time I was very heartless about this. I'll confess this. But I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was about, 12.
You want to You're doing this live radio.
Yes, yeah. I'm thinking the same thing.
Well, no,
Brett, can you erase that?
I'm just telling you what I did, and I'm not proud of it. But it had to do with this. It was about 10 years old, and I had a buddy, a little friend of mine. We were, getting ready to go to the movie on Friday night. Do you know this story already?
It's starting to sound familiar. I think I have heard this.
Anyway, we were going to the movie on Friday night. You know, when you were back in the 70s, your parents took you to the movie on Friday night, right? If there wasn't a high school football game.
Right.
So my mom's going to take us to the – I may have been 12. I couldn't drive.
Right.
Going to the, but there was a Towering Inferno.
Yeah.
With, who all was that?
I remember that movie.
You remember that movie?
They used a building in San Jose as the building that they lit on fire that when they were doing the shots at the top of the building.
It had an all-star cast. I think it was.
Those kind of disaster movies like the Poseidon Adventure and all that, they always have a big cast.
Yeah, it was like the Towering Inferno. Look and see what year that came out.
I'm looking at
it. You on it, Steve?
Okay. I'm on it.
Towering Inferno. They had an all-star cast. Anyway, reason I'm telling you this, there's an important moral ending. So my friend was supposed to go with me.
Yeah.
So I called him. I said, hey, we'll be able to pick you up. We'll pick you up at 6. He goes, I think what happened then, he put his mom on the phone.
Yeah.
And put my mom on the phone because he couldn't talk. I was, what's wrong?
Yeah.
So, his mom said, our dog died. And I'm like, and this is terrible.
Yes.
This is terrible. I said to my mom, who's relaying the message to me, I don't know how the phone's got where moms are talking.
Yeah.
And I said, she's saying, well, his dog died, so he doesn't feel like going. I said, Andy? his dog died. That's the reason he's not going. I said, that's it. I said, there are girls going to be there. And you're telling me the reason you're going to, I mean, I'm sorry your dog died, but that's no reason to back out on me right now.
Not my fault your dog died.
Right.
Sounds like an excuse if you want to be
right,
honest.
Right.
We need anyway, a better deal with somebody else.
Anyway, that was terrible.
Well,
but I didn't know at the time how callous I was being. Go ahead.
Yes, I was going to say, and you were not really a dog person your whole life up until Champ, right?
Yeah, we had a couple dogs when I was a kid, but yeah. I wasn't emotionally attached to them, really.
Right, but now you're attached to this one.
Yeah, I'm attached, but you get attached when you get our age and you have a lap dog.
Yeah.
You are emotionally.
Well, get ready for God's payback, Tim.
I know.
Because
it's not going to be anyway,
when
don't
that
look forward
time
to that.
Comes, God's going to say, now you know what Andy was feeling.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you going to say, Steve?
1974, starring Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, William Holden, Faye Dunaway, Fred Astaire, wow. Richard Chamberlain, O.J. Simpson, Robert Vaughn, Robert Wagner, and a cast of
thousands. I thought Ernest Borgnine.
No, that's you're thinking of the Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah.
He was and Gene Hackman. What was he in?
That was the
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure. Steve McQueen, and who was the first one?
You said
Paul
74.
Newman?
You said the Towering Inferno was 1974.
Yes.
Well, what was the year for the Poseidon Adventure then? That was about the same time.
Paul Newman and Steve McQueen. That is some cool factor there, buddy.
Those are telling what they had to pay that cast.
Yeah, two cool dudes.
Poseidon Adventure. I'm gonna say 75.
The Magnificent Seven is one of my favorite movies. It's got,
or Poseidon Adventure 74,
72.
McQueen.
72 for Poseidon
72
Adventure.
72 for Poseidon Adventure.
There's got to be a morning after, Steve.
Yeah,
there's
that was the song.
There's got to be
that's
a
right.
morning after.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman, Ernest Borgnine, Red Buttons,
yeah.
Carol Lindley, Roddy McDowell.
They're Red Buttons. He won an Oscar for that.
Shelley Winters? I don't know. I doubt it.
Wesley bored out of his mind over there.
Yeah, I just got my popcorn.
We're reliving the 70s.
Leslie Nielsen was in that, too.
Leslie Nielsen was in a non-comedy?
Yes.
I picked the perfect.
Wesley, do you have any idea? You've heard of the decade of the 70s, right, Wesley?
Yeah. I actually just recently, I had a lot of jokes here, but actually I can affirm a couple things here.
Okay,
as a result of my passion and love for baseball, been introduced to a good amount of 70s music that's been played that are still being played in baseball stadiums. And I'm growing for a new or a first time appreciation for 70s music.
Yeah, yes. You go.
First time you've been hearing some of this stuff?
I may have heard it in the background in a movie, but as far as like going, wait, I want that song on my playlist.
Yeah,
70s were back when people actually played instruments.
I'll give you a playlist.
Insane.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'm a 70s guy, so.
Yeah.
All right.
Good stuff.
All right, over to you, Steve. What's your first story?
All right, so do you remember last week we had a comment that President Trump said about Christians voting?
A comment. Okay.
I love my little Christians or whatever it was said.
Beautiful Christians.
Beautiful Christians.
Steve, we're beautiful Christians.
The beautiful Christians. I love them, and you vote this time, you won't have to vote again. And, of course, the Democrats went wild saying, oh, he's going to do away with elections. Democracy is finished. He's going to be a dictator from day one, da-da-da-da-da. Well, Donald Trump was on with Laura Ingraham last night and explained a little bit about what he meant by that. Cut 13.
Vote for me. You're not going to have to do it ever again. It's true. Because we have to get the vote out. Christians are not known as a big voting group. They don't vote. And I'm explaining that to them. You never vote. This time, vote. I'll straighten out the country. You won't have to vote anymore. I won't need your vote. You can go back
to
not voting.
You don't have to vote for you because you have 4 years in office.
Look, I started off by saying, just so you understand, you never vote. Christians do not vote well. They vote in very small percentages. Why? I don't know. Maybe they're disappointed in things that are happening. But for a long time, I say, you don't vote. I'm saying, go out. You must vote. November 5th is going to be the most important election in the history of our country. Don't worry about the future. You have to vote on November 5th. After that, you don't have to worry about voting anymore. I don't care, because we're going to fix it. The country will be fixed, and we won't even need your vote anymore, because frankly, we will have such love. If you don't want to vote anymore, that's okay.
Did that explain anything to you?
Yeah, it explained it to me. And this is what I thought he was saying, was he's got...
Yes, Dad, he's off script a little bit, okay?
He's got it in his head that Christians do not vote for religious reasons. And he was saying over the weekend and repeated it on the show that even if you don't normally vote, Christians, you need to vote this November 5th. And then you can go back to not voting because I'm going to fix. First of all, let me just say this. I appreciate. Listen, it is clear we have a absolutely clear choice here in November. And we cannot let the radical left take over this country.
No.
Clear choice.
Be a disaster.
But let me just say, no one man can fix our country because the problems run so deep. We need God.
Spiritual and systemic, so
yes,
to speak.
That's right. But it's clear that who we need. And we can't, I'm not supposed to say because we're supposed to be independent right here on
the
program.
Well, people can figure it out for themselves.
Yeah. But I also want to say, President Trump, it is true, by the way, that only half of Christians, now I don't know what it is here recently, but I know I wrote on this 5-6 years ago, only half of Christians are registered, and only half of the registered Christians vote.
A quarter of the Christian
population. So a quarter of the now, I don't
evangelical
know,
or Christians in general?
I think it's just Christians in general. But evangelical Christians probably vote in higher percentages than that.
I think so.
So I think I'm not sure other groups.
Listen, that's just how Trump talks. What? So that's how he's always. He can be dynamic, and then he can just.
I find a little bit of humor there when I'm paraphrasing, but y'all aren't good at this. Let's make an exception here.
Yeah,
this is a bad situation. We can put our convictions down for not voting. We got to get this one.
Yeah,
okay? And you're going to have to help.
Yeah,
that's a very good compendium. Yeah,
and he's right. Christians need that. If Christians are not voting for religious reasons, personally, I want to be respectful here. I think they're misunderstanding Scripture, okay? Christians should be taking part. Or don't complain when sex trafficking isn't fixed or schools tell your kids that it's okay to be transgender. Don't complain about it.
Yep.
Or when they make homeschooling illegal. How do you like those apples?
Okay, listen. I agree with everything you said, and we understand how this is because that's how Trump talks and that's how he's always talked. He just some things he does so well, and then some things he just convolutes, and he doesn't mean to, but that's just the way he talks. So he says don't vote. You'll never have to vote again, okay? I understand what he's saying.
Right.
You understand what he's saying. But I'm telling you, talking like that only plays into the Democrats' hands because they use this try to influence the general public to believe that Donald Trump wants to be a dictator.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's crazy. Well, no, not to them, because now I think they may know, but they're trying to use this as a political tool.
Right.
To beat up on Trump and the Republicans. They'll just say, listen to him. Here are his own words. You'll never have to vote again.
I'll fix it.
Yeah. Point number two on the talking points where they said call him weird. I guess you guys already talked about
that. Yeah.
Point number two is make sure that you say that he's going to be a dictator because he said that we weren't going to have to vote again.
Sometimes he hurts himself. I think President Trump does. Here's a Shazam moment with the way he talks and says things. But I think a lot of the public has come to understand it. That's just the way he talks.
Hey, you know, another thing that gets that's in this same conversation is the fact of how the media has lied and manipulated much of what he said and continued to do so. That when they may calculate that in and just brush it off too. Because do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, they take the worst possible interpretation. Of whatever it is Trump says, they take the worst possible interpretation and try to exploit that as what he's. That's why they built him into this caricature of a fascist demagogue who wants to be a dictator. And There's going to be no more elections when he gets in again, and he's going to take revenge on his political opponents. This is the whole profile that they created. And I'm just saying, sometimes with respect to this, Trump doesn't help himself. I'm not saying he should not be himself, because that's part of the attractiveness to his supporters and people who supporting him.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts him as bad.
You want him to be Mr. Rogers, okay? Huh?
Now do Kamala Harris.
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah.
Okay, back to Kamala Harris for a minute.
Yeah,
speaking of contrast, Donald Trump, A, loves the USA.
Right.
And Donald Trump is somebody that the Christian community can work with, and who we have a place at the table, so to speak, in terms of policy. And he's not going to appoint crazy left-wing judges. That's the most important thing to me.
Right.
It may not be to everybody else, but it is to me. Which will, the judges and the Supreme Court justices, the difference between who Donald Trump would appoint and who Kamala Harris would appoint is the proverbial night and day.
Right.
What you would get with Kamala Harris, should she win, as far as Supreme Court justices and federal courts, she's basically a squad member.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Right.
She lines up with their ideology.
Yes.
Okay. She's crazy left.
Right.
Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has a new term for her, and Trump should adopt it. She's a San Francisco Democrat.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
That's different than a Pennsylvania Democrat.
Yes.
Or you're an Alabama Democrat. She's a San Francisco far lefty.
Yeah.
And it would be absolutely terrible.
It'd be a catastrophe.
Yes, yes.
For our republic.
Yeah, the judges she would appoint when in terms of religious freedom, for example. So, anyway, go ahead.
What about that was a I can't find him looking for it. But
okay, the Jussie Smollett thing.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. Am I interrupting?
That's fine. Go. I got mine pulled up.
Can you get back to it in a minute?
Get back to it.
Okay, because I don't mean to. It's rare that I interrupt.
You'd have to interrupt yourself at this point.
Yeah.
That was good.
Wait, did you just diss me?
It was diss me.
Hey, listen.
I must be like offended because I didn't catch it.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but that was pretty funny.
Okay. All right, so back to my point, and I do have one.
Yes. Jussie Smollett.
Do you remember the story of Jussie Smollett? We all remember this,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
He's the actor who said he was assaulted by... Was it in Chicago or Cleveland?
It was Chicago.
Remember, he was the actor. He was a black fella, and he said he was assaulted by two MAGA.
Very descriptive. They
were wearing MAGA hats at 1 a.m. in the morning in January in Chicago when he was just on his way.
2 a.m.
In the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah, but he was on his way back from Subway. He went down to Subway to get him a sandwich at 2 a.m. You know, and these two MAGA guys jump out from behind. I don't know.
And one of them was carrying a noose.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a bottle of bleach.
Yeah. A bottle of bleach and a noose and a Tonka toy. I remember that, too. Those were the three things they were carrying. No, I don't know about the Tonka toy. Anyway, he told this wild, crazy, outlandish story, reported it to the police.
Wow.
Remember this? Mm-hmm. Just the guy's nutso. Well, and because he wanted to create he wanted America to rally to him because he wanted to know that MAGA was attacking black folks.
That's right.
In Chicago in the middle of January at 2 a.m. You would think somebody would have thought through this a little bit better, don't you?
This is MAGA country.
You need to have a better planning committee.
Yes.
You're
going
to commit a false crime.
100% fabricated.
So Jussie tried to play that one off. Well, about this story. This was the first reaction of Kamala Harris, who is then a senator from California. This is what she wrote on Twitter. She said, "This was an attempted modern-day lynching. No one should have to fear for their life because of their sexuality or color of their skin. We must confront this hate." End of quote. That's what she wrote in response to this lie that everybody knew was a lie.
Babka.
Her first reaction was, it was a modern-day lynching.
There was holes all
that's
in
how
it on
left
day
wing,
two.
That's how left-wing she is.
There's an irony in that, too, in that she kind of got that thing from Clarence Thomas, who said that he was, during his hearings, was involved with a high-tech lynching.
Yeah.
And her statement that no one should have to suffer because of the color of their skin. Well, that's skin. That's exactly what was going on with Clarence Thomas at the hands of Joe Biden.
But she didn't she didn't have any more discernment on an issue like this, except to jump out in front and say, "I believe Jussie Smollett." Not that.
Well, because she's a race baiter.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. She's a race baiter. So do we want a race baiter? As president of the United States, do you want that?
I don't.
You want Al Sharpton, a woman version of Al Sharpton, for those who know what a woman is, being the president of the United States of America? I mean, for whatever they say about Trump being a racist, which he's not.
Right.
Okay, he's not a racist. He may be other things, but he's not a racist.
Right.
There's no history ever in his background, in business or in entertainment or anything, of him being racist
saying anything like if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. I don't. Well,
that's what Joe Biden. That's what Joe Biden said.
I know that's.
But anyway, she's a race baiter, yeah. Kamala Harris, and unapologetically.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. Next story, Steve.
All right. How do you get the job to being an influencer online? It was an influencer.
I had to work hard at it. But
Zach Sage Fox. He went to the West Bank. He's an American Jew, but he went dressed or pretending to be an Italian because he wouldn't get out alive if he were known to be a Jew. But he went and he wanted to find out what Palestinians thought about Hamas. I thought it was very interesting. Let's listen to see what he had, what they had to say. That's clip. I don't know where is it.
Are you supportive of Hamas?
Yes.
Yes. Of course.
Yes.
Are most Palestinians?
Yeah.
Palestinian people like Hamas.
I'm with the resistance.
Did you see the videos they posted of what they did on October 7th?
Everything.
And you're okay with all that?
With everything they did.
They killed innocent Israelis. They killed. Yes,
no.
They did.
No.
Yes, they did.
Give me a picture for rape.
The murders Hamas did on October 7th, is that okay?
Yes. They have the right to do it. Jews have not been killed or exposed to any struggle or any violence.
Almost every country in the Middle East.
No.
That's true.
Educate yourself.
Yeah, educate yourself. This is the problem that Benjamin Netanyahu is having in prosecuting the war against Hamas, in that they are wildly popular in the West Bank and in Gaza, and you're raising a whole new generation of them if you get rid of the leaders now.
I don't generally consider myself to be naive. I was surprised when you played this in our story meeting this morning. I thought maybe if you went to Gaza and did it, you'd get people saying yes. I was a little surprised here at the West Bank that they were so in favor of not only Hamas, but okay with what Hamas did on October 7th.
Yeah.
Do you trust this guy, this influencer?
Well, I've seen the video. He's actually talking.
Yeah, but I mean, he could have interviewed 10 people who said the opposite, and he just didn't include any.
No, he's a Jewish American who has been vocal here on this side in favor of Israel.
That is a valid point that Tim's making, though. I mean, well, he did 100 interviews, and he just picked 10 to make his point.
People do that all the time, though. Those people still say what they said.
Well, they did say what they say, and other stuff that I've heard is that a vast majority, 90% of Arabs in that region do support Hamas, and they almost didn't escape with their lives from this particular interview session. They got threatened.
We've just become a tribal world, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Huh? What's your tribe?
Popcorn machine.
That's just
tribe, Christian.
We're the tribe of popcorn, West.
I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, brother.
Okay, are you?
That's my tribe.
Okay.
Everybody's welcome to join. See, I went spiritual on you. You were.
I wasn't planning on that. Can Jussie Smollett join you? That would be my next question.
He's a Christian.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.